on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, KPP Financial President, Financial Advisor Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of InvestTalk. It is June 24, 2015. And this, of course, is our one-hour question and answer session about your money. InvestTalk is naturally focuses on investing. I mean, that's what we do. That's our primary function, even though because it's really the only way today to even keep up with inflation and compound your money. I mean, really, is investing. So where do you stand in relationship to your investments? Do you feel in control, or does your IRA or 401k just kind of follow the currents out there, going with the market? But the show is about investing, and its primary focus is investing, but we also want to help out any financial questions you might have. I have a pretty broad experience in a lot of different financial areas, so I can maybe help you with that. Are you bullish, bearish, or are you neutral? What is your outlook? Do you think there's room for good growth ahead, or do you feel there's a serious downturn in the near future? Now, the American Association of Independent Investors, AAII, I don't know if you've heard of them, but they're very large. They conduct a running poll of their membership, and as of 6/15/2015, so June 15th, these are the numbers. Bullish, 25% of their members are bullish. 40% of their members are neutral. 34% of their members are bearish. So that is that's a fairly bearish outlook for them. Now you would normally think, okay, well then, maybe I should be bearish too. But to be perfectly honest, when they have a bearish outlook, that tends to be pretty bullish. And when they have a bullish outlook, that tends to be bearish. Because remember, of those members, those people are already out. And if they reflect the rest of society, a lot of people are already out of the market or cautious or defensive, however you want to say it. Therefore, there's money on the sidelines. It's just the nature of the beast. Doesn't have to be true, but it tends to be true. You should be bearish when everybody else is bullish, and bullish when everybody else is bearish. So what does it really tell us? It's hard to know, isn't it? This is not an easy thing. Should you be in the market or out of the market? Should you be defensive? Well, I've been saying in our weekly newsletter that we should be in the market and we should have some hedges in place just in case, but also be very, very cautious at this time. Most of us will receive a portion of our retirement income from Social Security. Okay, we all know that, right? But will you be getting all that's coming to you? Tomorrow, we'll be talking to, pretty in-depth, to the author of Get What's Yours about Social Security benefits, the secrets to maximizing your Social Security benefits. And we'll be, this is going to be a Thursday, tomorrow, June 25th. And we'll be asking him lots of questions, and we're going to have an open question forum for you if you want to ask questions. So be here tomorrow. I think it'd be pretty interesting. I've got some questions for him myself. I've been reading the book. So, but what questions do you have for that session with this guy, with this author? There's three authors, actually, of the book, and it's very good. I've learned a lot from the first half of the book. Second half, it's okay. But the first half was really full of a lot of meaningful information to me. Okay? So what's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? What's your money topic for today? If you have any money questions, drop in. You can ask me right now. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific time. Our number is 888-99-CHART. Let's go to Lou in Texas. How you doing, Lou?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Steve?
Good. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it.
Yes. Well, I got a question. I use your book and financial visualizations in my covered call trading to pick things. And I generally look at one of the technical things is the channel up. Mm-hmm. Today I got to mousing around and looked at the wedge up pattern, and it was just populated, about 60-70% of it was financial ETFs, all in a general nature, mm-hmm. And the shape of the curve on all of those was almost identical, with a dip in October and the ramp up to December, and then it wiggled out to June of this year, and all those wiggles are almost the same.
Right.
Now, if I take that wedge and extend get the apex, it goes out to about maybe December, April, May of next year. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, is the market trying to give us a heads up on something with this break up or down?
Yeah, the market's
been impacted.
Lou, the market's been moving sideways, as you probably realize. It's been pretty much sideways with a slightly upward tilt, but not much. Not much. Yeah. And NASDAQ more so. The Dow is kind of slightly downward tilt, and an SP flat. And you can see it in the various sectors, okay? And financial sector, Lou, is one of the most important sectors to keep an eye on. In my personal opinion, that's the sector that tells you that is there problems up ahead. And because of the sideways movements, I think we're undecided. But then I go look at the bond, BND, the bond market, and junk, JNK, that's the junk bond market. And take a look at those two sectors, because bonds usually lead the stock market, and they don't look very healthy. They don't look very healthy. So I'm thinking, that's why I've been saying that I think we're due for a correction. I think it's going to be a decent correction, and it should happen sometime this summer, maybe before November. It's this summer or into the fall. It should happen. Doesn't have to happen, right, Lou, but it should. And I hope it happens, because I think it'll be a very health restoring correction. In other words, the market needs it, because it's been overbought for some time.
Well, I may be moving into a few puts then into.
Well, Lou, I've been wrong. Don't, you know, I don't like to tell people that I'm always right, because I'm not. I like to tell people. What I do is I look at the probabilities, not the possibilities, but the probabilities. Probability is we're due for a correction. It's probably going to happen. Now, how big, how deep, how long it'll last, I'm not sure. I don't think we're moving into a bear market, though. I don't. Not yet.
Was this election have anything to do with that?
The election may have something to do with the correction, because the market will react before the election. But I don't think the market's going to be that strong this year, no matter what. I really don't. Okay?
Thanks for the call. Thank you for Hamilton back, I think, and we'll be talking to you.
Yeah, well, you can have him back, I think. Thanks, Lou. Thanks for the call. Let's go to my brother-in-law was the third baseman, first base coach for Rangers for several number of years. Now he's the third base coach for Houston. So, I know all about Hamilton. And of course, he's talking about Hamilton, the baseball player, everybody. George in San Jose. How you doing, George? Want to talk about Apple?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Since last 3 months ago, the earning report, which was a blowout, his stock is an absolute trading range. Mm-hmm. Is there any specific reason for it that cannot break out?
Everybody's... It's had a really good run last year, and, you know, it still is up for the year, much better than the market, but for what, 3 or 4 months, it's kind of been doing sideways after that great earnings. I don't think you're going to get, George, any really movement in Apple till the fall when they start, you know, selling the phones for the Christmas season and come out with any new products they have. Apple's one of our biggest positions in our managed stock account. I like Apple. We've owned it for quite some time, and I'm going to continue owning it, especially since growth last quarter was up 27%. Quarter before that was up 30. The quarter before that up 12. Sales growth. And earnings growth are going to be at 40% this year, another 8% next year. It's not overpriced. No matter how you look at Apple, it's not overpriced. So I think you just hold on to it, and... it probably will fall with a correction, but that probably means you buy some more, or you buy into Apple, not sell it. George, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. That's Apple. AAPL is a symbol, everybody. Alternative investment strategies such as managed futures are gaining in popularity because they offer increased diversification benefits to your portfolio. Balancing a portfolio with alternative investments, that's going to be one of our main talking point today. Got to be careful with this, though. Alternative investments. What the heck are those? And how do you use them? How big of a part of the portfolio should they be? Those kinds of questions. So that's going to be our main talking point. I'm also going to talk about forget about Greece, even though it's always in the news. Maybe you start looking at Portugal. Portugal, they're, I think, going to be the next problem. And I'll tell you why when we get to it. Low interest rates are crushing pension funds and insurance companies. Is this going to be the next disaster? I think we'd better look at that, too. And will oil go back down to $50 a barrel? Why would I think that it might? Especially if the economy is improving and Europe economy is improving, wouldn't that put more demand on oil? So why do I think it still might go down $50 a barrel? And it could go down quickly. Why do you think it will? Those are our main talking points I want to talk about. I do have a little interesting stat on Greece as well that I'm going to share with you. The market was down pretty significantly today, down 176 points on the Dow, 38 points on the NASDAQ, and 15 points on the S&P. But if you look at a chart, you know, you have got a market that is stuck. It is just stuck. I mean, if you go to the high, the very end of December of this last year, so starting this year, the S&P is up, I think, about 1%. 1% right now. Okay, the Dow is down, I think, about 0.5%, something like that. And it's only in the NASDAQ did you see really any kind of, you know, decent move. And so that's where the move has been. And even then, it's not that much, but it's, you know, several percentage points, which is better than the other two indexes. But all of them have the hallmarks of sideways movement. And now, in one sense, we can call this basing. It's basing. Will it be basing to move up, or is basing to break down? Basing usually means it's basing to move up. The longer it moves sideways, probably the better it is. Because what happens is earnings keep coming in over these last 6 months. The market hasn't really gone up, but earnings have come in. So what does that do? That drives down PE ratios. Price to earnings ratio. So that means the market can get over its overvalued situation. It's still overvalued, but it's starting to wiggle some out of that a little bit. And if earnings increase because the economy starts to increase, it'll happen even faster if the market stays sideways or has a correction. A correction would probably bring it right down to at value or below value. So kind of want to have that happen if you want another run up in the stock prices. A reminder about our new checkup dates for you in July. I will be in San Diego County on July 8th and in San Jose on July 15th. These are individual retirement review times. There's no charge, but I can only do a few of these each of the days I'm in, and you know, once a few times a month, because you know, I just don't have that much time. So if you want to meet with me, you can. I want to meet with you. I'd love to meet you. So save up your spot. Just go to investtalk.com and click on make an appointment. And we'll squeeze you in. We'll get you in. I'll get you in one way or another. And we're open right now for any of your questions. 888-99-CHART.
Coming up Thursday on Invest Talk, he wrote the book on Social Security benefits. Get What's Yours, the secrets to maxing out your Social Security.
I got a friend $120,000 in widower benefits that he knew nothing about. I got another friend about $20,000 in child benefits he knew nothing about.
His name is Lawrence Kotakoff, and he knows how to help people get what's theirs. Hear his secrets and ask him questions this Thursday. Get What's Yours, the secrets to maxing out your Social Security, right here on InvestTalk.
888-99-CHART. We're going to go talk to Bobby in Atlanta. How you doing, Bobby? I've been to Atlanta a couple times. That's a very pretty place, very pretty. How's it going?
Yeah, thank you. Good, how you doing?
Good, good. Thanks for the call.
What do you think of Gulfmark Offshore? I bought it a year and a half ago when the oil prices are like $128 a barrel for 37 or something. Mm-hmm. And right now it's at 11 and some change. I don't want the money. I'm okay to hold on it for like the next 20 years. So what do you think?
Well, it's not a company that you hold on for 20 years. It's a very small company, $294 million. It provides offshore, the symbol, everybody, GLF, provides offshore marine services to companies involved in offshore exploration and production of oil. And it's going to lose money this year. It's going to lose money next year. Sales are going down, are shrinking. It doesn't look really good, but it doesn't have a lot of debt, and it's fairly inexpensive if it returns to profitability. It wouldn't be something I would hold on to because it's not big enough to handle any dramatic price of the oil dropping again. I would be very concerned with that myself. Okay. Sorry about that, Bobby. If you can hang on, I can even talk. I'll talk about it a little bit more. One of our more popular investment programs, our KPP Financial, is our balanced income portfolio. If you're interested in it, give us a call. 888-99-CHART.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. Are you leaving Social Security benefits on the table, missing out on thousands of dollars in benefits? Get What's Yours, the secrets to maximizing your Social Security benefits. That's our talking point for Thursday's podcast for June 25th.
Bobby, are you still there?
I'm here.
I didn't finish up. I don't want to, all the negative stuff that we about a company. I don't want to think. I don't want you to think that I think it's a terrible company. It's not. It has a lot of, has insiders buying it right now. I don't think that it has a really big dividend, but I don't think that's necessarily sustainable. But I do think that dividend is, it's about 8%. Everybody, in case you were wondering. 8.7%, but I don't know if that's sustainable, but it does have high cash flow and not a lot of debt. So
right.
There's some good things about the company. Management owns 5% and they've been buying. And mutual funds are not selling it. They're holding on to it. So, this may be close to the bottom where the price is right now, $11.49. I just don't know if I agree with you that you want to hold on to this for 5-10 years. It's a pretty small company. So, therefore, it's a higher risk. Okay?
Okay. I was contemplating to see if somebody would just acquire this company.
They might, because it does have, has a decent sales record. Even in this slump, the sales are holding up. They're going down, but they're still going. They still have lots of sales. Thanks for holding on, Bobby. Okay. I appreciate it. Let's go to Gary in San Jose. Wants to talk about IRAs. How you doing, Gary?
Hey, Gary. Hey, Steve. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for the call.
No problem. Thanks for your program. But I had a question. So we are, a young couple, 30 years. Just had a baby boy.
Congratulations.
So we have this close to 50 grand in our IRA account, and in Bank of America. And then we were debating: should we move that account? Should we move those funds to a trading account? Like Merrill Lynch or like any other E-Trade or any
Where is it account. Now? Where is it being held?
It's in Bank of America in a risk-free CD. So okay. Basically, it's making nothing.
Nothing. I would get out of that because it will make nothing. Even though it's perfectly safe, but you guys are way too young to be perfectly safe with your IRA money.
Right.
Even if the market crashes, you'll still make a lot more money in the long run than leaving it in a CD. You want to roll it over into a discount brokerage firm and then probably buy at least an index fund, dollar cost average over the next 2 or 3 months. Maybe we'll get a correction. If you do, you want to buy the correction, don't leave it. I would not suggest that. I wouldn't suggest that for my mother because you're just not going to make any money,
Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's good. Thank you. But what I wanted to know is would it be a right time to move it to a trading account or index funding or something like that, or like wait for like November, December, or January?
Well, is there a due date on the CD? Is it due now? Is it mature?
No, it's a risk-free side. We can remove any time.
Okay.
It's already mature.
Well, what I would probably do is I'd probably move it over fairly soon, but I wouldn't be very interested in putting it all to work all at one time. I would probably buy depends on what we're going to buy, and I would probably suggest an ETF, and maybe buy, if you got 3,000 each, you said, for you and your wife?
No, about 50,000 or 50 grand.
Oh, 50,000. Okay. Yeah. Then I would be pretty slow about putting that in until that correction happened. But I would do like a dollar cost average into the market over a bit of time. You know, I would.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be anxious about it. And I'd probably use the index because, you know, I don't know how knowledgeable you are in the market, but I'd probably use maybe two or three indexes because you have that, you know, $50,000. I wouldn't, you know, I'd probably use a number of them, not just one.
Okay.
And if you email me, I will give you some suggestions on ETFs, which ones to use. Okay?
Oh, perfect. And what would be your email again?
It's on my website, but just click on Contact Steve, or it's S. Peasley, at investtalk.com with two T's, investtalk.com, no spaces.
.com.
Send me an email.
And,
I'll be
your website would be?
Pardon me?
And your website would be? Sorry.
It's investtalk.com. Same, or
okay.
kppfinancial.com. Either one will get you there. Okay?
Oh, perfect.
Thanks.
Okay. Thank you so much, Steve.
Thanks, Gary. Maybe we could meet. I'm not going to be up there next month. Maybe you want to sit down and meet with me. That would be good, too.
Oh, okay. I'll coordinate that through the email then.
Yeah, sure. Thank you for the call, Gary. Appreciate it. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Do you know how, you know, we've been talking about the Greek debt, you know, and Justin and I briefly talked about it yesterday. And they have a total, you know, just to give you some scale, they have 312 billion euros, or about $350 billion in debt, Greece does. Of that 312 euros, 231 billion of it is in the form of loans, with 205 billion of that belonging to institutions such as the IMF or the ECB. So most of their debt is not held by private institutions, so it won't have an effect on private institutions if they default. Okay, so I just wanted to throw that out there because that's kind of important. That's a kind of important idea. Because 3 years ago, most of that debt was held by private institutions. Now, one thing is kind of might make some people mad is those public institutions, ECB and IMF, that's our tax dollars, our European tax dollars being used to back up their debt. That means you and I, and mostly the Europeans, are backing up their debt. It's your money. Mm-hmm. Tired of the ever-increasing volume of financial documents, but not sure what to get rid of? Well, we have some ideas for you coming up on InvestTalk Personal next, right here on InvestTalk.com, where you can turn to straight talk every time about your money. Okay, let's start this second one off with a question. 888-99-CHART is our number. You can reach us anytime.
Hi, this is Dave. I'm a podcast listener, and I've been looking at a stock called AFSI, an insurance company. I wonder if you could give me your opinion. Thank you.
AFSI, AmTrust Financial Services, it is a pretty big company. $5.3 billion company. Doing about $1 billion a quarter in sales. And it's been increasing it's just been increasing for 8 quarters in a row. Okay. And last quarter was up 17%. Now that's a little less than it was before. It was 28%, 47%, 50%. These are all sales growth. So earnings are going to fall a little bit in 2015 down to $5.55 from $5.75, and then bounce back up to $6 in next year. That's what they're saying. About 45% debt, pays a 1.5% dividend yield. Management owns almost half the company. So that's a huge ownership of a company. And the stock has just taken off. It's at a new 52-week high yesterday. It went down 14 cents today to $64.69. So it's been on a pretty much of a tear, and it's still not that expensive. With $6 earnings at 64, that's a 10-11 PE. That's not that expensive. I might wait for a pullback to buy it because it's been on a tear, but then I think it's a good buy. I think it's a good solid company. Looks like the numbers are really good. Not a lot of debt, as I said. I kind of like what I see. I mean, return to equity is 27%. I like that. Cash flow is strong. You know, the only thing you want is to keep increasing its dividends, and it has increased its dividends every year the last couple of years. can't argue with that. So I think it's a pretty good AmTrust Financial Services, pretty good solid company. Especially workers' comp, especially property casualty, especially risk, extended warranty insurance. That's what it kind of does. Okay. AFSI is the simple. Forget about Greece. Let's talk about Portugal. Now, Portugal's debt is the problem. They have run up their debt. It's at an unsustainable level. It's 130% of GDP. The economy actually grew in the first quarter by 0.4%. Okay? But this is the problem. The IMF, IMF and ECB bailed out three countries, Greece, Portugal, and Ireland. Ireland is back on pretty solid feet because of they're being right next to Great Britain, and Great Britain is doing well. So that Portugal is just barely getting by with growth on our GDP. But that's still unsustainable. And they have a very high unemployment rate of 13.7%. So it's not, they don't have that strong economy. And if they have any headwinds, the growth of GDP will increase. They also have elections coming up here at the end of the year. Now remember Greece, when they had their elections, anti-austerity politicians got in, and that's why we're having all this struggle to Greece, because they don't want to have austerity anymore. They're not going to, not going to live within their means. They don't want to. And it is feared that Portugal is going to have the same kind of result in their elections. And so therefore, the new politicians come in, may say, oh, we don't want austerity either, and therefore we're not paying back these debt. We're going to start spending like we were before, or whatever it is, change the path that they're on. And they can't really tolerate much change because they still have a huge amount of debt, just like Greece. In some ways, you could say it's worse than Greece. So Portugal could be the next in-the-news problem as far as that is concerned, the euro. Maybe they'll patch together a solution temporary for Greece, but I think they're going to, a couple, 3 months later, Portugal's going to be in the headlines. Just pointing it out, everybody. Time for InvestTalk Personal, everybody. The thing that the day-to-day decisions that kind of impact your wallets and your lives. There are things you should never throw away. The list includes birth or death certificates, adoption paperwork, education, military, marriage records, that kind of stuff. But there are documents that don't have an unlimited life. Tax returns. The IRS says you should keep your returns for at least 3 years. If you happen to underreport your income by 25% or more, the IRS can audit you for up to 6 years. And what's really funny, the IRS says in their handbook, the IRS recommends keeping records indefinitely if you file a fraudulent return. Okay. Let me put it this way, though. If they think you have filed a fraudulent return, they can go back as far as they want. They can go back as many years as they want. If they accuse you of fraud, if you don't have the records and you threw them away, they're going to support their contention with their records. So I at least keep mine for 7 years. Okay. Individual retirement accounts. If you made a non-deductible contribution to an IRA, this is happening. In other words, you contribute money to the IRA, but a non-deductible. In other words, you've already put the max in the IRA and you still want to put more in it. I don't recommend this, by the way. But if you do, you have to keep track of that, because when you pull it out, you don't have to pay taxes on it like you do everything else in the IRA. But if you don't have records of it and prove it, the IRS is going to make you pay taxes on it. And remember, that could be years and years and years down the road. You may not have the records. That's why I don't recommend it. But you have to keep that. For 401k statements, year-end statements are fine. You don't have to keep them every year. Pay stubs, once you balance your checkbook, you can get rid of those. Bank statements, again, balance maybe 3 months, balance your checkbooks. You might want to keep bank statements for 3 months because if you file, you want to get a loan, you're going to need them. Credit cards, hold on to receipts until the statements arrive so you can verify them and toss all that. There is a longer list of what to keep, what not to keep at NASDAQ.com, NASDAQ.com, and search for what documents to keep. You'll see the list. That's InvestTalk Personal. Do you have questions? We're here right now at 888-99-CHART, or you can write me a note. Click on Contact Steve on InvestTalk.com.
Our InvestTalk mission is to help you make better investing decisions. To do that on your own, thumbs up or thumbs down choices based on good, solid investing principles. But we need your questions to keep us on track. 888-99-CHART or click on Contact Steve or contact Justin on InvestTalk.com.
Steve and Justin, this is Eric from Tennessee. I have probably a relatively stupid question, but it has to do with dividends. And my question is, if I buy a stock, let's say today, and that the dividend is paying 5.5%, and 3 weeks from now I buy it, and the dividend has changed to 2%, and on the day that it goes, ex-dividend date, it's even lower than that, to 1.5%. What am I actually paid? Is it the day that I purchased the stock, the dividend on that date, the revised dividend, or the actual dividend on the X date? I appreciate your show, appreciate everything that you do, and I'll be looking forward to your answer on podcast. Thank you.
Okay, the ex-dividend date. You have to own the stock by the ex-dividend date. And on the ex-dividend date, by the way, that's the date they announce the dividend, and they call it the ex-dividend date. We announce our dividend, and we're going to pay it on July 12th. When they announce that, they tell you what the dividend is. It's what they announce. It's not in percentages. It'll be in actual dollars and cents. They'll say, we're going to pay 80 cents a share on such and such a date. And you're confusing 1%, 2%, 5%, what is it? Because that fluctuates based on the price of the stock. Stock goes up and price of the stock goes up and down, and the dividend is static at how much money. But that money is a percentage of whatever the price of the stock is. But you're going to get what they say in money on the ex-dividend date. And if that was 1%, 3% on that date, that's what you're getting. That 3% or that 1%, whatever it is that they say they're going to pay. Remember, they're going to pay in dollars and cents for every share you own. And that is a percentage of the price of stock that day, but the stock will go up over the next few days, few weeks. You know, you don't know. It could crash tomorrow. You're still going to get the same amount of money. I hope that makes sense. Good question. That's not a stupid question. Matter of fact, I think that's an excellent question, because I think a lot of people probably have that. How does this actually work? Okay, balancing a portfolio with alternative investments. That's our main talking point today that we have not gotten to. And basically, if you read the article that we're referring to, it's talking about how to balance or have a properly diversified portfolio. And they're stating that maybe alternative investments that don't have any correlation with the stock market might be something that you want to add into your portfolio so that it diversifies away from the stock market performance. You know, it's just one more way to not be so tied to the stock market. Well, what are alternative investments? Well, they can be many things. You know, they can be derivatives. They can be many things. I don't know if I want to tell you all the different kinds of alternatives, but there are ETFs that invest in it. They could be futures market. They could, you know, there's many things it could be. Could be a currency market, alternative investments. And in other words, not just plain old stocks and bonds or real estate investments. They talk about real estate investment trusts and foreign ones and domestic ones, but those are other investments to properly diversify a portfolio if you want to do that. Alternative investments as just a method of giving you a better diversification. Now, be careful, because what that means is if the stock market's rallying, that part that you have in alternative investments may not go anywhere. You may get nothing. So if the market's falling, the idea is at least the alternative investments are not falling. You're listening to InvestTalk, and your questions come first, as they always do, whether you have a stock or a strategy or just a money question. We're here for you at 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is Jim from San Jose. I'm listening to your program via podcast. I was wondering, you have an opinion on Google. What's your value on its stock. And the most importantly, could you explain how you come up with the value? That is, what do you base your calculations on? Thanks.
Google, G-O-O-G is the symbol. It provides online search, as everybody knows, and they make money based on ads on their search. It came out public, in 2000, what? Was it 2014? No, it was several years ago, wasn't it? Yeah, this is just not showing me. Oh, maybe it's Google L, that's why. Yeah. Google and then Google L. Remember they have different classes of stocks? And the Google, G-O-O-G, just came out last year. They split that class off. And Google L, the other symbol, goes back much further, of course. Anyways, how do you evaluate a stock? Well, it's based on earnings and growth. That's how we evaluate it. Earnings and growth are the two main components of valuations. And there's different ways to do it. We do a bottom-up evaluation on fundamentals of the company. And the only way that works is that they've got to be making money, or else they won't. Our valuations become meaningless because it's based on earnings and growth. Got to have more earnings. Google, I kind of like it. It's been moving sideways for several months. It hasn't done anything for a while. I mean, really, it went down to a little below $500 a share. Now it's at $537. If you're talking about Google, okay, G-O-O-G. If you're talking about Google L, it's frustrating because they're two different classes. It's about the same. It went down about 500. Now it's 558. So, because it's just a different classes of shares. The company is probably worth closer to 600, in my opinion. They have a large cash hoard. They don't have any debt. They're building money like Apple does. And, and some mutual funds are slowly buying. I kind of like it at this price. I kind of think it's not very expensive. Now, I don't own any. You might want to wait for another pullback, a nice 10% pullback, bring it right down to the $500 level, and that would be a much better price to buy it. But the earnings are going to go up 11% to $28.29 a share this year, and then next year up 16% to $32.75 a share. So, at $32.75, I'm thinking this stock, and with a growth rate of 12, 15, 20%, looks pretty good. The stock's probably worth about $6.20, somewhere in there. Now, will it go there? Yeah, eventually, I'm pretty sure it'll go there. I just don't know how soon. That's Google and Google L, G-O-G and G-O-O-G-L. Low interest rates. Low interest rates are really crushing pension funds and life insurance companies. Why? Because they have 40% or more, they like to be conservative. So 40% or more of their money is in bonds, government bonds, and so on and so forth. And QE has driven down the coupons of those bonds, their interest, the amount of money they make, to such a low level that as their bonds mature, they reinvest them in these conservative instruments, they're making nothing. They're falling behind inflation. That could break them. It's time to get your question in before we're done for the day. 888-99-CHARGE, how you reach me. Any money question is good. Just give me a call.
Part of the InvestTalk experience is visiting our website, investtalk.com. And one of the reasons for a visit is Steve's market commentary. Just go to investtalk.com and scroll down to his market commentary. Our podcast distribution is made possible each day by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. Did you know you can access a link to a related article associated with each day's main talking point? And also you can click back to listings of the last 10 Invest Talks, each listing on the topics and stocks discussed. Just go to investtalk.com.
Let's get back to our listener line. 888-99-CHARGE. Here's a call that came in earlier before today's program.
Thank you for taking my call. My question is that I'm 67. I started collecting my Social Security. I work full-time. I put the max that I can into my 401k along with the catch-up contribution. But at the end of the year, I'm still having to pay a lot of taxes. Is there any other sort of investments that I can make or plans that I can put more of my money into so I don't have to pay so much taxes at the end of the year? Thank you so very much.
Well, if you're taking Social Security benefits and you're also working, you're going to be taxed on those Social Security benefits. You know, there's a and we'll ask this question tomorrow, by the way, of the author of Get What's Yours, which is all about Social Security. But if you need it, you need it. I understand that. But if you don't need it, you might want to suspend the Social Security because you get 8% increase a year until you're 70. And, you know, that then you will be taxed less because the benefits you're collecting now will not go to, you know, when you don't have to pay taxes on. But, you know, your tax situation is yours, and I don't know how much money you make. I don't know what tax bracket you're in. What, do you have a mortgage or not? There's a lot of things I don't know, and I'm not a tax expert. If you want a tax expert, we do have them. I have a number of experts that we can refer to and talk to, and we do have a CPA. So if you want that person's name to talk to about your taxes, I'd be happy to give it to you. You can just we're going to have him, I think we're going to have him, name is Adam, Adam Longvalier. I think we're going to have him on the show talking about tax issues here in not too distant future. But, so if you email me, I'll be happy to send you his information. Because, you know, it depends on you and what you can do to reduce your taxes, put away, you know, max out your 401k, you know, you want to do that. But, you know, maybe you're shooting yourself in the foot by taking Social Security that boosts your adjustable gross income, and at the same time you're putting maxing out your contributions into your 401k. Remember that 8% increase a year for Social Security with no risk. I kind of like that. But if you need the money, then it's another question. Is there a lot of things you can do to avoid taxes? No. I wish there was. But there just not. It just isn't. Thanks for the question, though. Will oil go back down to $50 a barrel? You know, it's been hovering 60, 61. Will it go back down to $50 a barrel? And I think it will if. Right now we have, our government is in talks with Iran trying to come to a nuclear program agreement. You know, to reduce their possible bomb building ability. You know, can you trust them? But that's a whole other issue. But if our government comes to an agreement, whether we like it or not, that is going to dump a bunch of oil on the world market. They have 34 large tankers sitting full of oil. Some think it's about 50 million barrels. Some say 30 million barrels in those tankers. All of that ready to be dumped on the world market. Just the agreement will sink oil prices in a day. In a day. So then they'll start creeping back up again. But it may stay down there for a while until they know exactly how much oil is going to come on the market based on an agreement with Iran. So that's where I think the danger where the oil prices can fall. If that agreement doesn't come through, I think we're looking at what we have, about $60 a barrel, and it's going to slowly creep up over time. The agreement, it sets there'll be a new benchmark price, probably closer to 50. And it could even go lower, but 50 probably is the low. So that's what I think is going to happen. I really do. Now, we're coming up on the end of the second quarter of the year, as soon as this month ends. And I'm very interested to find out what the GDP number is going to be. They just revised the first quarter GDP for the final time, and it came in at a shrinkage of what, 0.4%? I think it was the number. We're going to have growth in the second quarter and better growth in the third. I think we're going to slowly improve. But I'm really curious of what that number is going to be. We'll see. Time to wrap it up for the day. A reminder, don't miss our Thursday Invest Talk. That's tomorrow. The author of Get What's Yours, The Secrets of Maximizing Your Social Security Benefits, will be with us tomorrow. I've been talking about his book for a while. And he'll take questions, too, so have some questions ready. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, and for Justin Klein, everyone at KPP Financial, thank you for listening, and we hope you have a good evening, and let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.